David Bach is the Chief Investment Officer of Corient Capital. And as per always, fresh into the new month, we have a look at the month that was, looking back now on January. It's been quite a start to the year. Donald Trump has moved into the White House. We can talk maybe a little later about the implications of this, going toe-to-toe. It's like a midget against an elephant, I suppose. South Africa taking on the United States. I read somewhere this morning that Texas, the economy of Texas, just one state, is bigger than all of Africa, less South Africa. So 53 countries combined. That's what we're taking on, but it is what it is. We'll talk about that in a moment. Just to go back to the way that you're looking at things, David, your clients, are they worried about what's happening internationally and indeed how that's going to impact their investments here in South Africa?
They certainly are. I think most people we present to understand that South Africa is linked with the West, and we link with China. We don't operate in an island. So our rhetoric and what's happening overseas and how we position our country is important for our clients. It's important for the businesses that they are responsible for. So it's certainly a delicate road that the South African government needs to think very carefully on where it's headed.
Without exaggerating the point, when I came back from Davos, I thought, whoa, we're in for a tough year, because South Africa's going one road and the rest of the world seems to be going in a completely other one. But let's just have a look back at January, the month so far. And you've chosen a interesting topic. I was in Plettenberg Bay over the weekend at Kierboomstrand, which is kind of outside of Plett. And it was beautiful, that the stars that you could see in the sky, where you've got very little light pollution there. You've gone for something similar with a planetary alignment. Tell us why.
Correct. What we always do at Corient is look to match our report back with something that is topical that happened in the month. And I think besides what you mentioned was happening with Trump and politics, I think the theme for us was certainly the celestial event, the planetary alignment, where all our planets or the majority of our planets aligned, and was something that was quite rare and was followed quite globally. So we decided this month will be on the back of that theme.
And take us through this, what's been going on in the United States and the improvement on the big US indices.
Yeah, so our first slide starts with the sun, and we call it Sensational US. And it really just follows the meteoric rise of that market. And I was actually looking back at some hard numbers. And over the last 15 years, the NASDAQ has compounded at 20% per annum. And to do that at 20% for such a long period of time, if you look at what you would have, what your money would be if you invested R1 million 15 years ago and realized that it would be worth R14 million today, you get a true understanding of how strong that market has been and how important it is compounding large numbers over a period. So really a sensational period for the US market continued during this month.
And if you didn't invest in the US, if you kept all your money, say, on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, did you have a look at what that R1 million would be worth now?
Considerably less. I haven't got the exact numbers, but I would imagine, I'll be surprised if it's half that. Certainly in dollar terms, it would probably be a third of that. So, yeah, you know, it reminds me, though, just changing tact a little bit. 15 years ago, maybe it was 20 years ago when I was in the industry and looking at China's returns, and China's market were the same. And if you look back over the last 15 years, what's happened in China, and the market's gone nowhere. Just a little bit of a warning light that these things don't necessarily continue. And it has been an historic rise and for the United States. But at some point in time, competition comes, valuations are considered, and don't think that the last 15 years necessarily will mean it will deliver a good returns going forward.
I guess the counter argument to that would be that when you have transformative changes in society, as we're seeing now with the changes from the internet age, and even more so now with artificial intelligence, then the freer economies, those that are more flexible, will be the bigger beneficiaries. Because if you restrict people from innovation and don't encourage the innovation, which clearly the Americans are damn good at doing, is encouraging innovation, then you might be on the back foot. But it's a very well-made point. Donald Trump is in the White House in the United States. Drill, baby, drill, which concerns many of us who know that the world is getting hotter. It seems as though that doesn't bother him too much. What's your takeaway from all of that?
It just really shows you how important policy is on investments. So what we show in this slide is the return of the Global Alternative Energy Index over the last 3 months. That's down 20% since Donald Trump has come into power. So, you know, you could have great technology, but if there's a change in policy or dynamics, that can have a big impact on what's flavor of the month. And obviously, Mercury rising does reflect that if global energy is not as topical as it was certainly last year, then its impact on broader climate and the environment will be significant.
I wonder what people are going to do in 20, 30, 50 years' time and look back at this period and say, oh, Donald Trump was right, the world was getting hotter anyway, or say, what a moron. We were in a path towards at least starting to address climate change, and now he's just accelerated. What do you think those historians, future historians, are going to say about us?
Sure, that's a tough question. I can't even get agreement in my family on policy, let alone try and voice my view. So I think we are in a polarized world, and you've got to be careful for what you read. For me, looking at statistics and looking at numbers of how recorded temperature has changed over the last 50 years, I think that's pretty scientific. I do think we do have a climate issue. But I think the extent of it and how quickly that's going to impact the environment in 10, 15, 20 years is still debatable. But I personally do think that a climate is and its potential climate rising is something that we've got to take very, very seriously.
Well, we had the hottest year on record last year, and I think the year before was the hottest year before then. So things are certainly, the data is pretty self-evident. However, there was another big shock to the system in the past month, and that came out just after or towards the end of Davos, where this Chinese disruptor called DeepSeek shook up the AI industry. How serious, and there's been lots of kind of riposts to it. How serious is the introduction of DeepSeek to the whole AI boom that we've seen?
I think it's very serious, and it probably leads quite nicely on your earlier comment about, you know, America is at the forefront of technology and it's built a significant moat, etc. But these things can change quickly, and a lot of people are referring to the recent development of DeepSeek and this Chinese AI company as being the Sputnik moment, and continuing with the space and theme that we're running with. So, you know, if you cast your back at what the Sputnik moment was when the Soviet Union launched the first ever satellite in, I think it was late 1950s, and that spurred the space race and technology, etc. So if DeepSeek is anywhere near the breakthrough that many people suggest, then it's going to have significant consequences. And I think for South Africa or developing worlds, I think it's very exciting. It will make AI more accessible and more affordable. So I think it is very, very material, potentially very, very material. If you look at NVIDIA, who's at the forefront of AI, you know, and you look at it from terms of valuations, it trades at a 26 times annual sales ratio compared to the average S&P company of 1.7 times. So if you have a new technology coming in, and maybe it's not exactly what it's meant to be, but if it's anywhere close to what it's meant to be or a fraction of it, you know, a 26 times multiple can get eaten away very, very quickly.
Yeah, 26 times sales multiple, you are really discounting the Garden of Eden arriving and staying there indefinitely. On to the US GDP growth, which horrifically for South Africa exceeds South Africa's and has done so for quite some time. And you'd think a smaller economy must be much easier to grow than a huge. I think the last I looked, it was 75 times the size of the South African economy. So what's going on there?
Well, the US, its actual number came in a little bit lower than expectations. I think they were expecting 2.6, came at 2.3. But 2.3, as you pointed out, for such a big economy and to be doing it quarter after quarter is significant. And it's particularly considering how everyone was forecasting a recession when interest rates were jacked up so quickly and aggressively. And that certainly hasn't been the case. So I think the US has been in a good space. They're at the forefront of technology. The consumer has been strong. They've had a very practical Federal Reserve. So that plus, you know, it's really free capitalistic market has resulted in, you know, the economy just going from strength to strength.
Equities, bonds, property, and gold in the past month.
Yeah, we titled this Earthly Delights. Nice seeing all your asset classes being positive. The standout is certainly in the context of South Africa was, and I'll get to that probably later, was that spot gold price was up over 5%. That really has a big catalyst for our market and certainly our gold and resources markets. But across the board, if you were an investor and you're looking at your assets in terms of dollars, you would be very happy when you see your valuation statements come at the end of last month.
So across the board, it was green, best performer gold at just over 5%, equity 3%, properties 1.5%, and bonds were 0.5%. But here in South Africa, today in particular, we've had a kickback now. We're starting to reap the consequences of a week ago when Cyril Ramaphosa signed into law the Expropriation Without Compensation Act, the Land Expropriation Act. Some people are very unhappy about it. It certainly is an attack on private property rights, which is one of the core foundations of a free society. David, how are you reading all of this?
Well, let me start with a big disclaimer that I'm certainly no constitutional expert. But it is important to note that, you know, the Constitution does ensure that property can only be expropriated for public purpose and in the public interest and with compensation. So, and this compensation must be just and equitable. So I think there is comfort there. We've got a strong legal system that will protect the Constitution. I think what has generated controversy is, you know, the whole thing about the possibility of nil compensation, which is quite contradictory to what I said. But that is for where land is not being actively utilized. So how that gets defined and to what extent that could be tested in the legal system still needs to be played out. I think there's a long way to go before this really gets tested. But what is clear is that this development doesn't exactly scream, come invest in South Africa. And especially when it doesn't seem to, you know, it doesn't seem to be clear that there was broader GNU consultation. So certainly not a very positive result.
And the markets have been buoyant due to the Government of National Unity or assessment by international investors that they, if you like, have a party to counterbalance the socialism of the ANC. Clearly that was shown to be not as strong as anticipated. As far as South Africa is concerned, in the past month, David?
Yeah, we had a fair month. All our asset classes, our main asset classes, were in the positive. Equities was up 2.6%. Our bonds were up 0.5%, slightly below cash. And our rand was pretty stable as well. But, you know, investing can be a long game, and sometimes it can be a very short game where lots of things happen in quick time. So this was as at a close of last month. I think the world has changed quite quickly over the last 2 days. I saw the markets are down, our rand's much weaker, and our bonds have really The yields have increased about 20 to 30 points in the last 2 days. So that's on the factors we've just spoken about. So I think we've got a bit of headwinds that we are facing as we speak.
So January was a good month, but February certainly has started off pretty poorly. Those stocks that did particularly well in the past month, not surprising to see that the golds dominate here, given that 5% improvement in the dollar gold price.
Unbelievable. You look at Harmony, which was the best performing share of the biggest shares in our market, up 42%. Anglo Gold up 34%. Goldfields up 31%. These are significant moves. I think as a portfolio and money manager, you know, when you have your index being, you know, 7% weighted to gold, the impact of not owning a gold share when it runs is significant. So you could be a good stock picker, and then the back of a macro event or move in the gold price, you underperform by just not owning these highly leveraged companies.
And as far as those going down are concerned?
Yeah, it was mostly the interest rate sensitive retailers. Mr. Price was down 15%. Pepco was down 9%. Discovery is down 7%. I think I don't think it was major company announcement. I think Mr. Price came out with a trading statement. But it was all back when I think they ran very heavily the previous year. They were among the best performers. Given what's happening in the South African market, what we discussed, a little bit of headwinds. So that gave back and retracted from its very big results and appreciation in the previous year.
Why would Discovery be in there? Is that still an impact of the National Health Insurance?
Potentially, but I think that was pretty much in the news. I just think it had a very good last year and maybe just gave some back. I didn't see any big announcements. The National Health Insurance Act has been a topic for some time. I don't think there's been material changes to what people are expecting.
And looking ahead to February, we haven't started off well.
We haven't. I think I said last program last month, be aware that this year is going to be a year of a lot of headlines, a lot of risk on, risk off. We are seeing that. And, you know, when things are a little bit more tricky, it's often opportunities to invest. You look at our South African bond market, you can get a real yield of 5%, 5.5% on some bonds, you know, a real yield, that means inflation plus 5.5% from a government-backed institution, that's a nice return. So don't be scared when there is a little bit of rumors. If you're getting compensated for that risk, then not a bad time to start increasing your exposure.
And David, just to close off with, there were many concerns during the period of load shedding. Load shedding came back briefly in the past week and now has been suspended again. How big a deal is that for investment markets?
You saw immediately when Eskom announced that there was load shedding, our bond yields picked up about 15 basis points. So ignoring the fact of its impact on job creation and small business, etc., just for the South African government's having to fund themselves at 15 basis points higher, is your immediate tell that it's not a good development and it will result in a bigger cost for South Africa.
David Bacher is the Chief Investment Officer of Corient Capital. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.